B-Pod Studios.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
Toucher and Rich.
I just want you to go, and like, oh yeah.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Like the first time I felt it, it was during those bubble games we played against Carolina, and I made a quick stretch. You know, I reacted to something, and I felt the pop there. It wasn't something that it was, you know, it felt awful. It was just something definitely happened. I'm guessing that, you know, along with the wear and tear over the years, is what happened. But obviously, you know, you play goalie as much as I have, and with the style, you know, butterfly style, these things happen at some point almost to everybody. So you know, maybe it was just probably a combination of you know, both.
Yeah, me and my man finna get up on some discos. Come on,
what you want?
Disco.
98.5 The Sports Hub. We're Toucher and Rich. The Bruins are meeting with the media, and there is news, and then there is very, very good news. And the if you were looking for something, if you were a fan of the team and you were looking at the $27.8 million or whatever they have under the cap when everyone's a free agent, and you wanted to bring back Taylor Hall, Rich, Taylor Hall, music to Bruins fans' ears.
There's no question. So Taylor Hall was asked about re-signing, and he said, I see a fit. He said, hopefully they feel the same. Hopefully we can make something work. That's obviously my goal. And then he added, I am not looking to maximize my value at this point in my career. About more of a fit for me than maybe money or a long-term thing. You want to find a home for the next few years here. Oh, my gosh. Awesome. That's everything you want to hear. And hopefully he truly means it, but he followed it up by saying that he's going to be sticking around for a couple of weeks because he's in no rush to leave. And he loves it here with his girlfriend.
That's right. He and his girlfriend love it here. I mean, talk about a guy campaigning for a long-term contract. He genuinely does not seem to care.
Although he said the years don't matter.
I am not going to question his sincerity right now. I just like what he said.
Oh, it's everything that you want to. And by the way, there are ways of saying that, but not truly meaning it. Like, oh, yeah, I mean, Boston's a great place. But him saying, I don't want to maximize my value right now.
All right, so here's, okay, if I'm the Bruins, well, now here's what I think. If I can present a plan to Taylor Hall, because he deserves that. He does. If he's going to take less than market value to stay, he deserves a plan. And if I can, so here's what my strategy is for my management, and see if you guys agree with me, because I think I'm right. I think it's no right or wrong. I think he's smart. Is that I have a plan, and I take it to Taylor Hall, and I go, all right, Taylor, if you take this amount of money in this term, here's what I can do with the leftover money.
There's no question. It's almost like you want to say almost the Tom Brady way, where if you take this discount, we will try to put good pieces around you.
But I have a concrete plan. I can give McAvoy his money. I can turn around, and I believe that I can deal for, you know, what one of these three players.
Yep.
Here's what they make. I can bring them in here. Here's your role. Your role will be this. Imagine if you went to him and I can bring this center in to center the second line.
Oh yeah.
And if you
that might be part of it too. There might be a center that he has in mind that he'd like to play with, and that might be part of his thinking of taking this discount in order to make that happen.
Okay, so we're all in agreement. None of this is bad news. all of this is great news.
The Bergeron thing's the only thing I'm a little off on.
Well, but he's playing next season.
Yes.
So let's just talk about next year. Jeremy Swayman has now been cemented as the number one goaltender when when this team starts next season.
It feels that way.
He's the number one walking into camp. He's your number one guy. Taylor Hall looks like, I mean, if he's campaigning for more money, he's doing a terrible job at it. He said it's more about fit. He loves it here in Boston. He just sounds like he wants a long-term deal.
By the way,
I take a long-term deal at a discount.
And here's the good news.
Gives you more money for other players. There's no downside to this.
And the good news about Bergeron, which I think it's all good news, is that Bergeron said his groin held up, and which is massive news.
At the age of 35, that is very good news.
Which is massive news. So,
because we know that that is the type of injury that continues to nag people throughout their careers.
Well, it nagged them for years and years and years. I mean, it nagged them for how long, John? 3-4 years that thing was bothering them?
Yep. I have the Bergeron quote here if you want it. Because I, like you, Fred, I'd like to hear it in context instead of just in like black and white print. Here's Bergeron talking about his future.
You've battled that chronic groin thing for a couple of years now. How did that go this year? Obviously, you didn't have to miss any time, but is it difficult to, dealing with that? And how long do you want to keep playing?
I feel fine today. Obviously the usual of, the aches and bruises of a season and playoff hockey, but otherwise, the groin held up, which is great news. And I'll take it a year at a time and see how my body feels and all that.
Yeah, that, I'm with you. The way it sounds,
you're being really fatalistic if you think that he's got any plans to retire.
No, but here's the thing. I mean, when he gets to the end of the contract, which is after next year, it sounds to me like he's not, okay, I want two or three more beyond that. He's going to be year to year.
Or he'll want 2 years, which is, it might be a benefit to the team. Regardless, he's not going to want a 5-year deal and play until he's 41.
But there's nothing to be upset about here.
Well,
this is really best case scenario.
Unless you're in love with Rask, because, again, the thing with Rask is this, is that Rask, if you're just joining us, Rask is a torn labrum. I'm not going to crap on him today. If he really had this for a year, I don't know why I just stopped bothering him so much recently, but regardless. So he's got a torn labrum. He's going to be out. He needs surgery. That puts him out until at least Christmas. He can't be your backup goaltender. Now, even if you didn't think it mattered that Swayman had that looming over him and all of that stuff, he can't be. Now, Rich asked me off the air, are there free agent goalies available? There's a trillion of them.
They're
available.
There's a million. You can pick up 30, 34, 35-year-old scrap heap guys to play 10% of your games.
Don't say scrap heap. They are on the scrap heap, but they're on the scrap heap not because they were never good. They're not Vezina candidate 2 years ago good.
Yeah, but I'm talking about guys that were starters in this league for a decent amount of time who are just past their prime.
Lots of them.
Yeah.
A ton of them. You can pick whoever you want.
I haven't seen the list, but I'll take your word for it.
No, there's a ton of them. Yeah. And you can pick whoever you want. So, but what you need in what everyone says, even the, so Rask apologists, this counts too, because the whole reason for bringing Rask back was you need a guy there and he's going to be able to have to start a lot of games and he's going to have to be there and Swayman's going to have that security. And Raycroft said when he was playing and things went wrong for a month that I forgot who came in, a big time goaltender came in and was able to take up games. Well, if I can't play half the season, that does me no good. And it's the beginning of the season. So if Swayman goes off, has trouble, and you want to protect the kid a little bit and let him work on it, which is what Raycroft said they do, let him, take a week off and work with a Senza and get everything together. Well, I need my goaltender. And by the way, don't give me, we'll sign another goaltender and Rask is ready, bring him back in. No.
This is the time.
No.
This
because
is the time.
Then Rask comes back healthy, healthier than I've ever been. I've never felt this great in my entire life. This is so wonderful. And then Swayman's been playing for half the year. And then, so what? Now the Bruins got to make a decision if they put a healthy Rask back in or play Swayman? You can't do it.
And also,
you cannot have it both ways.
Think about it this way, too. How good is it for Swayman's confidence to not even there not even be a question of Tuukka Rask coming back?
I thought that the whole time. Now, I'm speaking to the people that don't think that. I'm speaking to the people that thought, well, Russ can come in and he's got to play and da-da-da. Well, now, no. You can't. It doesn't work. It doesn't work because he's not here half the season, and it certainly doesn't work that here's Rask off of surgery. He's in press conferences. This is the best I've ever felt. I'm out here, and then I'm in practice, and I'm standing on my head, and now all of a sudden Swayman's got Rask over his shoulder. Then don't play Swayman. Then have Swayman play in the AHL next season and let him at least play and succeed in the AHL. If you want Swayman to be the next goaltender, and that's the best scenario for them, and that is the best for the future and the present, you can't have Rask on this team. And I know he loves Boston, and he might even live in Boston in the summer still. And I hope he has a glorious time. But I have nothing against the guy personally. But you just can't. Even if you think Rask is the greatest goalie of all time, you can't. You can't now.
Well, now you're at the point where you definitely can't.
Right.
And on top of that, you know, there's a lot of questions. I know Dan was saying this in the other room. You know, do you bring in someone like Halak who you could get cheap?
No.
You want, when you have a situation like Swayman, you want a guy who has been there, a guy who has ripened in the thick of it and maybe been on a team that's tasted something, if not victory, something close to victory. He's gone deep into the playoffs.
You'll find there's plenty of guys. I went through the highest paid unrestricted free agents. They're all goaltenders.
Anton Hudobin? What's Dobie up
to? Yeah, you can see a bunch of these guys.
Yeah, I looked at it yesterday.
How far did Dobin get with Dallas? He got like, what, second round?
No, last year, didn't they go to Stanley Cup Finals?
Oh, they were in the finals. Okay.
They went to the finals last year.
But was he the goalie the entire time?
Yes.
During that run?
Hudobin, okay. We're going home!
That's right.
It's Hudobin. We're not going home!
That's right. What he said.
So, listen, it this makes the path a lot easier and a lot clearer for the Bruins.
You clear up tons of cap room. You have Krejci is really now the only question. And we're going to find out. He's going to talk to the media at some point this morning.
Well, but whatever he says is no interest.
But I mean,
not like these guys.
Bergeron's healthy and apparently willing to go year to year after his contract ends, based on what we're reading between the lines here. Swayman is where everyone seems to want him to be. The majority of Bruins fans seem to want him to be.
I want to hear Krejci because I want to see if there's any talk of him retiring. Because that's the one thing you might be able to get out of this press conference with him.
Why would
whether
he,
his head still. Well, I understand, but why do some of these guys, you know, retire? I mean, he's older.
But he can still make a lot of money.
Well, you see, I agree. Well, I wonder how much money he can make.
A lot.
Because I was shocked. I thought he would too, but Fluto doesn't think he's going to make a ton of money.
Even if he's willing to leave?
He told me the value of players who are almost in the exact position as he is.
And how many millions a year?
What was it? Was it three? Was it like 3.5? Is that what Fluto said?
Well, if he can go off and get a 3-year deal for $4 million a year, I mean, that's a lot of money. It's not 7.5, but I mean, it's $12 million.
No, it's definitely nothing to sneeze at.
I mean, if he wants to play hockey and someone's willing to pay them $12 million to play hockey, I'd play hockey. This isn't Chara playing for $800,000. I mean, that was a joke.
No. It's true.
So, I mean, Krejci can still play hockey if he wants to. I don't think he would retire. I mean, he played well at the end of the season.
All right, when we get back, we've got some of that Taylor Hall audio, which, as I said, if you're a Bruins fan, it's wonderful to hear him say that.
It's all starting to pan out, Johnny boy, just like someone told you it would.
Who is that?
I don't know. Some genius, I guess. Some misunderstood genius. All right, we'll be right back.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
Get you going every day.
I don't care for the sportsman like talk.
Toucher and Rich.
At least let me live in a fantasy world that for 3 hours you hate each other.
On 98.5, the Sports Hub.
No, like I said before, I'm not going to play for anybody else than the Bruins. This is our home. You know, we have three kids. Kids enjoy here. They have friends in school. We have friends. At this point in my life and career, I don't see any reason to, you know, go anywhere else, especially, you know, with the health I'm looking at now, like, recovery time 5 to 6 months. So hopefully it works out that I recover well, and then we can talk about contracts when time is right for that.
98.5, the Sports Hub. We are Toucher and Rich. That's Tuukka Rask. He needs surgery. He's not going to be available until late December, early January. He can't. That's it. And I'm not hating on him. There's no argument. Now, Flutuzinzau even put out, the Bruins need to get a veteran goaltender. There's a million of them out there.
And if you're out for half a year, there's no use in getting a guy and signing Tuukka Rask. No. I mean, you just can't do it.
And you can't bring him back healthy and go to Swayman. Well, now Tuukka's back.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So you can't do it.
It's time. It's Swayman time, which is good.
Makes the transition way easier than it would have been. Yes.
So Taylor Hall is another part of the good news, and that is him talking about how it sounds like he is willing to take a discount for what he would be worth on the market to stick around here. Here he is being asked about that.
But yeah, you know, I see a fit, and you know, hopefully they feel the same. We'll you know, we'll let the dust settle on everything this year. I'm sure they have a lot of stuff going on and some other guys that have been here longer than me that they have to worry about, and then we'll figure that out. But hopefully we can make something work. I don't even know what my value is at this point. I feel like I had two different seasons. You know, I'm not looking to absolutely maximize my value at this point in my career. I've been fortunate enough to make some good money in this league. And at this point, it's about, you know, more of a fit for me than, you know, maybe money or you know, long-term thing. I just want to, you want to find a home for the next few years here. And like I said, we'll see what happens.
I love it. I love it. And there was part of a worry. I mean, don't think that there aren't people. I know I worried. I don't know if you guys felt this way. There's part of me that because of the way that they exited the playoffs, that was a little worried that maybe the Taylor Hall thing wasn't as ironclad as I had hoped it would be.
The way he played for the Bruins would have gotten a lot of teams interested in him.
Yeah.
Regardless of what you saw in the playoffs, there are going to be teams that are going to come to his doorstep and offer him 4 or 5 year, whatever it is, multi-year contracts for lots of money.
Well, they're going to have to give him 4 or 5 years.
Well, he just said not only is he willing to take a discount from the Bruins, he's willing to wait for them to get back to him to do it. What he basically said is he's going to Heisman all the other teams that come to his door and see what the Bruins have to say first before he even entertains anybody else.
You see, I think it's more that there's an understanding that they're going to keep him. I think this has been something that's been in their head in a while, and they're ready to speak to him. They may have already spoke to him.
They probably already had.
Because right here, Fred, doesn't this to me sound like he's looking at houses?
Taylor, I assume you just sort of pack up quickly here and head back to TO for the summer, or just might linger and take a few days, or do you just head right out?
Yeah, no, I'm going to be here for at least a couple more weeks. Like I said, you know, I love the area. My girlfriend does as well. And unfortunately, back home is not very open. I don't even know if I can go to a gym or get ice time right now back home. So I'm in no rush to get back there, and we're going to enjoy our, you know, a few weeks here, and then we'll get back and see our family and whatnot. But yeah, I'm in no rush to leave.
I mean, he's happy here. And everything he is saying is giving an indication that you're going to be able to get Taylor Hall for nowhere near the market value.
And I'll repeat myself. If you're Sweeney, what you need to do, he wants to stay, great. I would want him. I'd want to keep him. What you need to do is you have to have a plan, and you have to present him with that plan. And you have to say, we've targeted these 5, 6 players. We think we can get one or two of them. And here's what it's going to take to get them. Here's where we are with the cap. Here's where we are financially. We can give you 4 years, 3 years at, you know, $7 million. And we think that, you know, if you do that, we'll have this money left over and we'll be able to. And then McAvoy will give him this much money. We'll give him $10 million. Yeah. And then we're going to give. And then we think we can get A, B, or C and bring them in.
Sounds like this could all come together pretty quick, too.
Well, it
seems like Hall is the linchpin to getting all of this done, depending upon how much. If they can nail him down for 4 years and $28 million. And by the way, Max Pacioretty, a guy who is about, when he signed his contract, about the same age that Hall is now, signed a deal for exactly that.
Well, that's
4 years and $28 million.
That's a great deal. And then I would do that today.
I don't know much about having a torn labrum in the hip that's kind of, I know about having it in the shoulder. And one thing, Fred, I know that, didn't you tear your labrum as well?
I tore the rotator cuff.
Okay, see, I tore the labrum. And then they can give you a shot, and it doesn't feel like there's anything wrong for a little bit. Is that the same thing with the hip? Is it one of those deals where you can? I know the pain is bad, and I know it's kept out for a month.
Considering Tuukka Rask, if I don't know when it tore all the way, because it's been bothering him for a year, but I mean, he was pretty good for long periods of time in the playoffs. I would say there was absolutely a shot involved. So considering the pain with that injury,
he was talking about it, and in the press conference. And he said, the hip itself was never an issue. It just locks up on me every once in a while. And that's why you see me kind of limping out there. So it doesn't even sound to me like it was a pain thing with him. It was more of a trick hip.
It's over and it's done. And he was very good. He couldn't win the big one, but
I think more of me, the reason I want to hear more about the injury is, and I know it's over with, is the Cassidy situation. Did Cassidy make the right decision knowing everything that he knows?
Well, no, he didn't make the right decision.
We said that he should not even make the right decision, but how much blame should Cassidy get?
Cassidy made the wrong decision because they didn't win. So,
I don't think that's fair because we don't know if Swayman would have come in, but was he so bad?
There was two empty netters. I mean, would Swayman given up more than four goals? I mean, I don't know. I mean, listen, do I think he should be fired over it? No, but it wasn't in hindsight, it wasn't the right decision. Rask didn't play well for two games.
And you and I called for him to be benched in that final game.
Right, and by the way, obviously game six was not Rask's fault. I'm not saying that at all, so stop. And people that know him and know me, stop your nonsense. But it wasn't his fault in game six, but he didn't play well in games five and six. No, he shouldn't have played. He was too hurt. I mean, that's a fact. I don't think Cassidy should be fired, but then I think if you gave Cassidy, you know, a chance to go back and do it over, I think he would have done it a different way. I hope. I mean, if you were given an opportunity and you saw the way it worked out, you'd go, maybe this was the bad deal for me. JP, go ahead.
Well, quick comment before my goalie question. At least TH71 likes the New England weather compared to...
I don't understand what that is, and I don't care.
What the hell?
TH71, isn't that like the...
Taylor Hall 71. Hall 71.
Oh, I don't know. I don't want to
That's the way the cool kids do it.
I don't want to hear that. I don't know why. Jeff, go ahead.
RDP, what's up, Chief?
What up?
Listen, someone needs to be... whether it's management, whether it's medical staff, why the hell is someone playing with a torn freaking labrum and can't even play the game properly because he's obviously hurt?
I'll tell his fault.
One last thing. Okay. Please, Freddie, one last thing. What is it with Boston sports always playing these schlubs that are always hurt? Cam Newton, Tuukka Rask. Put in a person that can play. You're selling the fans the lemon.
Yeah, I think that he probably went to Cassidy and he said, I'm not in any pain. And I think I can go out there and play. And Cassidy went, all right, well, I got a kid who's got, you know, six games NHL experience or Rask, and he did the same thing.
And also to that guy's point, I just want to say that it was because before game five, you saw Tuukka Rask with that same injury play extremely well. So if you're Bruce Cassidy, I'll give him this much grace. Is he saying, all right, was that a one-off thing, or have we just taken a turn in the wrong direction? And obviously, he took a turn in the wrong direction, and it doesn't seem like it was something he was able to... It was not just a one game off.
Right. No, I know I did it. I just would like to think that if he had a chance to go back in time, he would do it differently. Which is a time machine. I mean, I think we'd all go back and do things differently. But he certainly would have that opportunity. I would hope he would take it.
Carlo was being interviewed, and they asked about Cal Clutterbutt's check, and he said, great hit, had no issues. And then this is always a tough question to have to stand there and answer, is they asked about his long-term health concerns. And he said, well, I've recovered from these. I don't really feel that there's any issues, and he's not worried about his long-term health. What else? That's just a tough thing to sit there and answer.
He said he feels fine off the ice, but at times dizzy on it.
Well, unfortunately for the Bruins, it is an issue for them, and they're going to have to plan accordingly. I mean, Carlo's a nice player, not a great player, but he's a very steady player, and they're going to need to plan accordingly because their defensive depth is woeful. And that's going to – and that – even the most stringent hockey writer, keep things, never change a thing, they're going to have to get very serious. And Carlo is going to be, you know, one of their top four defensemen, but there's going to have to be a plan in place where there's a capable right shot backup.
He's veering, and he's not there yet. I'm not saying he's there yet, but he's veering towards Kevin Miller territory. Very solid when he's in there, but injury prone only in that if you suffer this many concussions, you are susceptible to another one rather quickly. So
absolutely.
He's a solid contributor while he's in there, valuable while he plays, but you could lose him in an instant and you could lose him for a month.
Did Case talk today?
No. Andrej Case
does anyone
has
know
not
what
spoken.
He looks like anymore?
No.
It's a great question.
Does anyone know what
he can walk
like?
In this room right now and I wouldn't know it was Andre Kasha.
I wouldn't know who it is either. I would have no
Maybe
idea.
He doesn't really exist.
You mentioned Andre Kasha at the end of the season and I was like, oh yeah, he's on the team. That's
same with me.
That's
And he was supposed to be good.
Oh yeah.
So, that's another salary they're gone. And by the way, the $1.5 million they're giving it to Busy Street Backus. Is off the books next year, too.
He's going to retire, finally.
Oh, no. He's got another long-term deal in him.
He's going to retire.
He's got another deal in him.
That's right.
Give it up to Backus. Backus got paid. Backus got paid, but he did have to go to the AHL.
He did.
He did have to go down to the AHL at 30, in his mid-30s, after a very nice career. But he did have to go down, and he did have to see his old team win the Stanley Cup without him. Which can't be nice either.
That's not fun.
Not a good way to wrap things up.
Nope.
But and if Sweeney and Neely were listening, and I was going to see him right after the show, I wouldn't have a problem with this at all. I mean, this is it. This right here, this offseason, pinpoint it. This is it.
I also think Sweeney, I have confidence in him not to screw this up. Right. He may not be perfect, but I have confidence in
decisions are being made for him.
As long as it's not a draft.
No, but I mean, decisions are being made for him. His life just got 100% easier.
Yeah.
Rask is gone, and looks like you can get Hall back.
Yeah. Unless it was Sweeney that convinced Hall to have that attitude because of what Fred said. He presented it with something and gave him basically a great sell job as to why
but
you should take
less.
But
the point is, the path is laid out for him. All he has to do is open up the door and walk down the road.
He's going to have to get creative.
And by the way, part of that you have to credit him for because of some of the money he saved on these bigger players' contracts.
Yeah, I don't know how much that's him, but yeah, I mean, someone did in the organization. But he's going to have to get creative. That's the thing. Bruins fans, do not let them sell you or let anyone writing or anything about this team sell you. Well, guys, our hands were tied. There was only these unrestricted free agents. No. There's a million teams that are up against the cap. There's a million teams that have to unload contracts. There's a million teams that have dead contracts that are just awful. And you can create, with the space they have,
between the money and the allure of playing for a team that's got a shot,
you might be
in one of the best situations in this league.
But let me finish. Because a lot of people are, and I've heard it, well, there's no unrestricted free agents. Well, that's not the point. The point is if Sweeney gets creative, a lot of teams have to unload talent, would love to unload talent, and you might have to take something on that is detrimental for a while, but with that, you get talent that you wouldn't receive normally. So just because the unrestricted free agent class doesn't, you know, get your eyes all bugged out. Listen, there's plenty of goaltenders there. Taylor Hall's there. That's great. The moves can be made, but it's up to Sweeney and Neely to get creative. Fred, what are they? I don't know, but you can do it. Teams do it. The Bruins were able to unload David Backus's contract. I mean, you can do it. You can do it. And what do you have to give up? You give up Backus and a nice pick.
First rounder.
Right. So I take Jabroni, who you don't want, but you have to give me superstar guy. And that's the way it will work. I didn't mean to get too technical with the superstar guy and Jabroni.
I need to write some of this stuff.
Well, John, I give you a lesson every morning. I hope you learn something.
Put it in your headlines.
Thank you. Don't think I won't.
All right, what's coming up in the old Stackaroos?
Well, we got more Bruins news as it's rolling in as we speak. Also, one of the best comedies of the 90s is finally getting a sequel, and I do mean one of the best comedies of the 90s. And Red Sox Facebook really loved Pride Night last night.
What is that? What is pride? No, I'm just kidding. I'm proud of being American. Where's my pride night? All right, so here are the headlines.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
It's time to get to the stuff that we couldn't get to. It's the stack.
The Sports Hub. We are Toucher and Rich. What's going on, Rich?
All right, let's just rip through a couple things real quick. First of all, Craig Smith has been doing his exit interview, and he's been playing through a groin injury as well. Everyone's pretty banged up. So as we get more stuff in, we'll definitely announce it. I've got some stuff here, but I do want to hear this because I was just talking about this with Mike in the other room. Jeffrey Toobin, he is the commentator for CNN. I have not heard this, and I know it's going to be uncomfortable.
The video came up, and it was right there yesterday, and I couldn't look at it.
Okay, so we'll sit through this cringe together. So Jeffrey Toobin, if you don't remember, he was the guy who was on Zoom. Toobin. And
hand tubing.
He went hand tubing on Zoom and ended up getting fired or let go from CNN as an analyst because he was doing some hand tubing.
And fired from the New Yorker, which I don't know exactly why. I mean, you're just it's just your name in the lead. It's not like people have to see you.
How can you not see? That's the weird thing. How do you not control yourself? Even if you think the camera's off, you're still dealing with human beings.
He's not, you know, 17. I mean, he's like
old enough to know better.
No, it's not know better. It's like when you're 18, 17, 16,
your libido's just like, yeah.
Oh, it's insane. Like, I mean, you have an erection constantly. I mean, he's got to be at least my age. I mean, how old is he?
I think he's late 50s, 57 or above.
Oh my God. I mean, how many times does he do that a week?
I'm
down to like four times a week. I mean, I used to, in my 30s, I was at least once a day.
You're asking how old Jeffrey Toobin is?
Yeah.
61.
Okay.
Oh, my God! Well, then it was a kink of being watched.
Well, or maybe not being watched, but like hearing someone's voice or something.
Yeah, like the idea of the idea. Because I'm always interested because, like, the amount of times you pleasure yourself as you get older is much less. It becomes much less of a thing. And especially with the preponderance of porn that is available at all times. I mean, you get a little anesthetized.
Well, either way, he got rehired by CNN. But because CNN can't just put him on and not address what happened, I have not heard
Neither
this.
Have I.
This was a very frank conversation that they had before he went on the air the first time. And what is the name of this news anchor? Do we know?
Who cares? But it is a lady.
It is a lady. Okay.
Right, here we go.
Hi, Jeffrey.
Hello, Allison.
It's been a while.
It has been a while, indeed.
I feel like we should address what's happened in the months since we've seen you, since some of our viewers may not know what has happened. So I guess I'll recap. I'll do the honors.
Help yourself.
Okay. In October, you were on a Zoom call with your colleagues from the New Yorker magazine. Everyone took a break for several minutes, during which time you were caught masturbating camera.
Oh, no.
You were subsequently fired from that job after 27 years of working there. And you, since then, have been on leave from CNN. Do I have all that right?
You got it all right, sad to say.
What the hell were you thinking?
Well, obviously, I wasn't thinking very well or very much, and it was something that was inexplicable to me. I think one point, I wouldn't exactly say in my defense, because nothing is really in my defense. I didn't think I was on the call. I didn't think other people could see me.
You thought that you had turned off your camera?
Correct. I thought that I had turned off the Zoom call.
But still... Well, first of all, good for her. I mean, I'm also good for us that I didn't have to see his face when she said that. Like, is it split screen and he's on the right side and he's just...
You got caught yanking it.
Oh. No. Split screen, Rich. He is on the set, I think, with her.
Yeah. No, he's on the set.
He's at the desk.
He's there.
Okay, I'm so glad I heard the audio and didn't watch it.
Yeah, he's at the desk. That's why I couldn't watch it. Yeah, he's at the desk.
I can't believe it. Well, I see. What were you thinking? My nightmare would be for him to come back and go, well, you.
I've said that to a CNN anchor to her face before.
His other colleagues at the New Yorker. The other writers.
Who did you say that to?
I said it to a CNN anchor to her face on the radio in Atlanta.
What?
Really?
Hang on, what?
It was in, what? Never mind. It was in conversation. It was part of a conversation.
During that discussion, I was just thinking how many awful things he could have said. What were you thinking? Listen, the people I was in the Zoom call with.
But what if he was, I would like to have heard him break it down a little bit more if he was like, well, you know, I had just, you know, been watching Gilligan's Island and Ginger was there and, you know, I have a big thing for Ginger, and I just couldn't wait for this meeting to be over because I was, you know, I'm a man, and it was just, the pressure was too much to take.
What does she say when her bosses come over to her? We want you to conduct this interview.
She says, thank you. This is going to be on every single website in the country.
I'll give them this. Both of them handled it perfectly.
Oh, yeah.
Like, she did a great job, and the way that he kind of matter-of-factly spoke about it must take a lot of internal strength to be able to.
He wants to work again.
I guess he does.
People and you know want to know.
And think about that. Imagine being that wanted, that after what you did, someone's bringing you back just a couple months later. That says something about his value.
I will say this though: no one saw it outside of the Zoom. Like, we didn't see it.
No,
like on tape. If it was on tape, he'd be screwed.
Oh, I'm looking. Somebody sent me a screen cap of what were you thinking in his face. And
okay, but in terms of the actual masturbation, no one has. You know, that hasn't been leaked publicly. And so that would have been much worse for him. So the reality of it is he didn't hurt anybody. I mean, he didn't hurt any of the viewers. But it is embarrassing. It's not something that you can't, you know, get over. But, I mean, his Twitter is going to be no fun for the rest of his life.
I mean, that is part of that. That is part of the story. And, you know, I have spent the 7 subsequent months, miserable months in my life, I can certainly confess, trying to be a better person. I mean, in therapy, trying to do some public service, working in a food bank, which I...
Yeah, spanking it at this food bank all the time.
Working in a food bank, which I certainly am going to continue to do, working on a new book about the Oklahoma City bombing, but I am trying to become the kind of person that people can trust again. Because I'm a flawed human being who makes mistakes.
Yeah, it was the pandemic. What are you going to do?
He handled it very well.
It was the pandemic.
I mean, no pun intended.
So, no, I don't know how well he handled it. It could have just been hitting against his leg for all I know.
Well, maybe that's the case. All right, and a completely different zig to a zag. Loki came out, the new show that everyone's been looking forward to. And Fred, I know you said you yourself were looking forward to watching it. I saw the first episode yesterday. It is the biggest debut in the history of Disney Plus, and that means it's even bigger than WandaVision, which at one point was the most watched television show in the world. It's bigger than The Mandalorian, bigger than Falcon and the Winter Soldier. So there you go. The largest U.S. premiere day audience of any Marvel Disney show ever.
All right. So we'll take a quick break. Be right back to end all.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music.
Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
What they say in the morning, you'll be talking about all day.
This is a dumb conversation, but, you know, why the hell not? That's what we do.
Cutcher and Rich, 98.5, The Sports Hub.
We haven't played this song in forever.
Yep.
985 The Sports Hub. We're Toucher and Rich. Rich, what's going on?
One of the greatest comedies of the 90s is getting a sequel. Years later, came out in 1996. Fred, if you had to think of the best comedies of the 90s, what would be up there?
I was in college, in high school.
I'll give you a hint.
Yeah.
The people who made this movie for about three films in a row were just on fire. And then they fell off. Dan nailed it.
Is it the Farrelly Brothers?
It is the Farrelly Brothers. Name the movie that's getting a sequel. We know it's not Dumb and Dumber because that's happened.
Oh, I love it. The one with Ben Stiller where he goes, there's something about Mary.
That's the third of the trilogy, but it's not that one. Kingpin is getting a sequel. See, to me, I go back and forth between Kingpin and Dumb and Dumber as being which one is superior, and it's always the one that I saw most recently. Kingpin, to me, is just, it's almost a perfect comedy.
See, I like There's Something About Mary is my favorite out of all of those.
Something About Mary wears, like, it's not as, it doesn't hit as hard.
I don't know,
still.
Matt Dillon in that is a phenomenon.
Oh, but Bill Murray, oh my God, here's why Kingpin 2 might be interesting. What if they indeed succeed in getting the original cast back together and Randy Quaid's back?
No, well, they can't.
Randy Quaid has gone insane.
No, they can't. They can't get insurance on Randy Quaid. You can't make a major motion picture with Randy Quaid. Are you crazy?
But if they did.
Well, okay, so I need $20 million to make a comedy, and we're going to hire Randy Quaid, and if he doesn't show up one day, it sets us back, and it's $1 million a day. Yeah, no, you're not getting Randy Quaid, Rich. There's not an executive on the planet, and it's not remaking The Godfather and like needing Brando back. This is Kingpin.
But don't they realize
and Randy Quaid was the worst part of Kingpin?
Oh, Randy Quaid was funny in Kingpin, but the worst part. Listen, out of those three, yeah, I agree.
Yeah.
But he was great. Bill Murray was the best. Woody Harrelson was great.
Well, the landlady was great.
She was fantastic.
It's Something About Mary. There's Something About Mary was on one night, like within the last 2 years, and the scene where he's like, you know, and you're just, you know, going around sniffing your own farts. He goes, "You've been following me." Like, I couldn't stop laughing. Like, we turned off the lights, and I, like, still couldn't stop laughing.
There's so many one-liners in Kingpin that you don't remember them. Like, when they're sitting in the car, and that Vanessa Angel turns to Woody Harrelson and goes, "What do you think about New Beginnings?" And he goes, "You mean the feminine hygiene wash?"
Whatever happened to her? Every time I see Kingpin, I end up going, "What happened to her?" She was really good looking.
She was. All right, better cameo, Seabass or Roger Clemens. I think it's easy. No question Cam Neely is Seabass and Dumb and Dumber is better than Roger Clemens.
Brett Favre is the best, and There's Something About Mary.
What about
it matters
Brett
to
Favre?
You know, they offered that to Bledsoe first.
Yeah,
well, I didn't know that.
Farrelly Brothers, they offered it to Bledsoe first.
Of course they did. And he goes, "I don't want to be in this. It's going to hurt my brand."
What about Brett Favre?
Yeah.
You see, Something About Mary was very funny, but I watched it recently, not recently, I watched like a decade ago, and I remember like it not hitting as hard as Kingpin.
Because you know why? Because the beginning of it, like when he gets his balls in the zipper, isn't like as funny because it's not as shocking. Like the two scenes you remember, the balls in the zipper and the hair.
Yeah.
I never thought the hair part was that great anyway, but those two things...
We're like screaming in the theater.
Yeah, but
like, wow.
Which I saw in the theater and I was screaming. But Matt Dillon and I'm not being cool, Matt Dillon in that, the lines he has are just, he's phenomenal.
Well, I thought
he ended up dating Diaz after he was so good at it.
I thought that Lee Evans, the one, excellent query, Mary, the guy who's obsessed with it, he was great too.
Yeah.
No, but I mean,
the twist that movie takes, I mean, it's like a well-written movie, like in terms of a plot structure. I mean, the twist with Chris Elliott. I mean,
Whoopi Wooderson or whatever his name was.
I mean, that's like an actual good, really plot, well thought out.
Hardy, best of those three, Farrelly Brothers, Kingpin, Something About Mary, Dumb and Dumber.
Dumb and Dumber.
Yeah. Okay, that's fair.
I don't know.
It's Dumb and Dumber or Kingpin for me.
It's not Kingpin. Kingpin's third on the list.
Ooh, you see with me. Mary's third.
No.
See, I go
I
think it's Dumb and Dumber, Something About Mary, Kingpin.
See, I go Something About Mary, Dumb and Dumber, Kingpin. All right, everyone, enjoy your weekend.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task. But after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.